Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities.
Welcome, everybody. So I'm obsessed with money right now. And since I've done my last two podcasts have been kind of directly about money and then sort of indirectly about the economy of consciousness, I've invited David Koobs back. Because I love talking to him about money. Maybe David and I will just start a whole podcast like The World of Money.
Hello, everyone. And I love your idea because I love money.
And so do I. And this is something that David and I sort of share. I think it's a very unpopular point of view that you and I definitely have the audacity to choose. So what I thought would be interesting to talk about today is sort of like the stories and the journey of money, because everybody has such a different experience of money in their lives. So David and I are going to tell you guys our stories of money and use that as a springboard to then share a lot of the magic and tools and ways in which we've learned to be with money, to generate money, to have money, to create with money. And it's only just the beginning. Like, what else is possible?
I love that.
David, do you want to start off and share some of your story?
Yes, sure. Because everybody thinks that I was born rich. In German, we have this saying, you fell on the butter side of life.
The butter side.
Yeah, the butter side of life. It comes from the Second World War, where butter was the most luxury good and nobody had it.
Right.
So when you fall on the butter side of life, you're automatically taken care of by whatever, a trust fund, rich parents and stuff like that. You're already born into wealth. And the only thing you need to do is create, and you are not worried about how to create money. This is for me, the biggest lie and the biggest myth around money, because people who don't have money think that money is the problem. And if they just had enough funds to cover the daily the basics to live, they would create. This is the biggest lie. This is a myth. It doesn't work like this. And I wasn't born like that. I was born in a poor family. My father was an accountant. We were three children. My mother was a housewife. My parents grew up in Vienna. We were living in a state home. The government of Vienna built affordable living, mm-hmm. where every family who had a certain income could actually live, and they paid 10 cents rent per square meter. Mm. So we had this little 60 square meter apartment. My dad went to work every day. My mom was at home and three children and a dog. There was nothing left for wealth. So we had, for my parents, for it to be a great life, because we had food. And once a year, we could go on vacation. So it was a pretty mediocre mm-hmm. life we were born in. There was just one thing that triggered it all. One of my uncles was working for the government, and the government sometimes built these, you know, social homes in the richest areas. And my parents were so proud because they got one of those apartments in the richest area of Vienna. Mm-hmm. So I was actually the poorest one in the rich area, and all my life judged for being, you know, God, these are the poor ones. How come? Well,
right.
There were demonstrations going on when these buildings were built. I didn't see it like that. I was always so happy walking around and see all these, you know, the Mercedes, the Rolls Royce, all this wealth. For me, it was like, wow, I want that mm-hmm. without judging it. And I remember a conversation with my parents when I was 10 years old. I thought we were rich. And I said, well, we are rich. And my mom said, sorry, honey, but we are not at all rich. Rich is, and then she explained what rich was. And I was like, yeah, but if that is rich.
Actually, I'm super curious, because it's sort of like, I ask that question a lot. Like, what is rich? When yeah. am I actually rich? I ask that a lot of myself. Do you remember what your mom said? And I actually would love to hear your take right now.
I remember that conversation as if it was yesterday, because I said to my mom, Mom, I actually have everything that I want. And she said, yes, but we don't have a Mercedes, we don't have a second car, we don't own a big house. And I was like, yeah, not yet. And she said, well, you are rich once you have that. This was a conversation where I remember I was like, what? Mm. You need to have it to be rich? I thought because I desire it, I was rich.
So let's do something really quickly. So all of the points of view about what rich is that any of you guys bought from anybody else, shall we destroy and uncreate all that?
Yes, please.
Right, wrong, good, bad, old man, Podpock shirts, boys and beyonds.
I didn't realize until I started Axis that these conversations and these points of view actually then changed my innocent point of view about being rich and wealth and money. Mm. And I could kind of claim that back using the Axis tools. But for many, many years, I then went into, fuck, we are poor. Everything was a lie. We are not rich. So I went into the total wrongness. And then, you know, when you grow up and everybody else has all that and you don't, it wasn't easy then, but somehow I never gave up demanding that. I never envied anyone who had more. I was always inspired that, okay, I want that. Mm. And I started, I remember when after that conversation, I didn't accept it. So what I did as an 8-year-old, when we went to the pool, there was this public pools. Austria has a river and no sea. So we had these public pools and people were buying beer and Fanta and cola in glass bottles. And when you returned the glass bottle to the store, you got 1 cent. So my weekend job was walking around collecting glass bottles and taking them back to the store.
David,
and I collected.
I did the exact same thing. Same age.
This was my first time because I said, I want that. And if I
interesting. We apparently, anybody who used to be a can or bottle collector, recycler when they were 8 years old has a future of money ahead of them. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I had a whole business. I ran it out of my parents' garage. My stepbrother was my business partner / employee. Every weekend we would go out and coyote for the cans and make, by the end of the weekend, we'd have $5. And I was like, well, that was a lot of work, but I still love the money. And it started from there.
And it was great because it was all coins and it was heavy. So it was this, I was like, wow, I have so much. I mean, it was just, you know, the value. I was a child. I didn't really care. I didn't really know. But it was like so good to have this whole bunch of coins, heavy stuff in your hand. It felt like gold, you know, when you watch these fairy tales and the gold coins. We had Austrian shillings back then. It wasn't worth anything. But this is how I started. I was like, no, I'm not accepting that. I'm doing that. And the minute I could, I started babysitting. And then I started walking a dog for, now it's €2 an hour. This neighbor of ours, she had to work and the dog was sick. So every day I came home from school, I took the dog for a walk every day. I was like, well, I want to go out anyway. Why don't I add something where I can make money?
Now, so there was. Were you encouraged to work by your parents, or was this an ambition and an enthusiasm you had of your own?
My parents actually, I think they gave me choice because they said, well, if you want something, create it on your own. We are poor. We won't finance your future. They locked themselves in into poverty. Right. And this is what my dad said, hey, if you want something, you go for it. I paid my dues. I work. I give you food. You have a bed. You have a roof above your head. That's about it. If you want more, go for it. You do it. You create it. I'm not paying for you because they kind of judged me, or they always won that. I remember my dad when I was older, he once said to me, what did we wrong that you ended up like this, always wanting more, never being satisfied?
Wow.
And I was like, nothing. It's not wrong. I'm so grateful that I have that because I always wanted more. But they, as parents, you always do what you consider best at that moment. So when they said, you know what, this is what we have, we actually like our life. We don't want more. If you want more, you go for it. And I did. They allowed me everything. They couldn't understand why I wasn't satisfied with the tiny little life they had created, but they allowed it to happen. So I'm grateful for them.
So will you tell us now what your financial your real estate portfolio, your financial portfolio, your net worth, your businesses, like, will you give people a sense of sort of like what you've come to now from that?
Well, from that, I run a law firm where I make about a 2 million euro a year. I have like 7 apartments that I rent out. I have my own penthouse, beautiful place with overlooking Vienna, that I'm also renting out at a very high rate. I have my share portfolio. I started buying some jewels and watches. I'm collecting pens. this is a good question. I never calculated my net worth. Chris Hughes in a teleco a few weeks ago mentioned that he had to do it for a bank financing.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I wonder what my net worth is.
Yeah.
But there is something weird, and I would love to share that.
So to be determined, somehow, to be determined.
No, I somehow seem to avoid it so that this desire for more keeps going. It's weird.
So that's
it's really weird. But now, as you just said, I was like, I don't know. And do I really want to know? And there was this.
Oh, interesting. Right. So how many?
Very interesting. Yeah, thank you for that.
Well, that's an interesting one, too, because I know a lot of people out there don't really want to know what their financial sort of platform is, or playing field, or circumstance. I'm sort of the opposite of that. I love having information, but that's why we're so different. And I think that that's what's important to recognize, that everyone who's listening, like, these are just David and my stories of money. This is just information, inspiration, stimulation, not the way it works for everybody. And so,
exactly.
Yeah.
What was your next job after collecting cans?
I grew up in, I would say, like, a middle class family that ranged from like lower middle class to upper middle class over the duration of my childhood. My parents, you know, I grew up in USA, in California, which is not a socialist state like you grew up in Vienna. So there wasn't public housing, there wasn't that sort of government assistance. And my mom had me when she was single, basically. And she was supporting me and my older brother on a single mother's income in Los Angeles. And we were poor then. And she met my stepdad, and they got married when I was 5, and we moved to Santa Barbara. And over the duration of their 15-year marriage, they amassed a lot financially. They sent all of me and my brothers and sisters to private school, but they also filed for bankruptcy probably 7 to 8 to 10 times during the period of my life. So I watched a lot of financial volatility, and sort of like the sentiment and energy around money in my household growing up was always one of extreme strain and stress. So when I sort of was on my own in my early 20s, I didn't actually realize till recently, and I just turned 40 this year, so I didn't really realize until now that I had like no idea what I wanted to create as my life and like how to handle money. I sort of like knew how to have debt like my parents. And to be honest, a lot of people in America are encouraged to have debt. It is absolutely a debt society. And so I ran up a credit card debt. I amassed a massive credit card debt before the age of 25 that was almost paralyzing and insurmountable to me. And I was over at my stepdad's house, who is really my father. And I come in, and I remember I come in the night. It was the evening or something. And we're sitting in the kitchen, and I say to him, I think I'm going to file for bankruptcy, because this is what I saw my parents do when they didn't have the money to pay for things. So I thought that was a very valid choice. And he went nuclear. He's like, he got so intense, not angry, but intense. Literally the windows were shaking in the kitchen. And he said, "You get to work." And in that moment, I was like, having like a heart attack / expansion / overwhelm of having to take a different track with where I was going financially. And he said, "You get to work." And so I literally went out the next day. And at the time, you know, this was before like smartphones. So I just had like my little phone book with all like my phone numbers and addresses in it. And I literally called every single person in my little phone book. And I told them what I was doing, this is when I first started my access business. I was probably 21. Yeah, 21. And I called every person in my phone book, and I said, "I'm doing this access stuff. do you know anybody that would be interested? And within the week, David, I had made $3,200. And this was off the back of being completely in debt, making no money, having no clue, feeling completely paralyzed. And it was the first, and now that wasn't the beginning of like the gravy train. That was just the beginning of me getting like, oh wow, me actually taking action works.
Yeah, but there is one thing that I love this story. I didn't know about that, but when you said your stepdad said that and you went to work, you didn't fight anyone. You never wanted to prove that having that was right. And this energy of, I don't know how to find words for it, but it's this desire to move on rather than give up. And that's right. What I see in so many people. This, yeah. It doesn't matter where you are. If you just, it's a choice to give up and it's a choice to get started. And you can always get started because you can only get better.
Well, and so,
that's the beauty of that story, because it can be so easy once you go into, okay, and just keep going.
Well, it's interesting because I actually do think that there's something that sets you and I apart that is what I'm trying to sort of talk out into this, like into the light. Cause a lot of people get to work and a lot of people work and a lot of people have jobs and a lot of people create, but not everybody really goes above and beyond and becomes financially magnificent. And what I really recognized was when like my dad told me to get to work and I started getting to work, it probably literally took me 10 to 15 years to work through a sea of judgments I had about money, about being embarrassed to be rich and about, you know, all my judgments about money. And like when I lived in Australia with my husband, I think we moved out of Australia about a year ago now. But when we were living there, I bought a BMW and I was legit, even as recently as 3 years ago, I was legitimately uncomfortable feeling the people's points of view that were being projected at that car. And I would catch it and I'd be like, God damn it. Why am I still putting any validity into people's points of view about money? Because I long ago learned that you can't create based on other people's points of view. You have to choose what's available for you.
Thank you for mentioning that, because I did the same thing. I totally adored money. I made money, but I was best at hiding it so that people won't see it. And I always, you know, growing up in a socialist country, from a middle class / poor family, I felt guilty for having it and they not having it. At the same time, I knew giving it to them wouldn't create more. So I never wanted to know anyone around me how much I really had, because I felt obligated to help them, to keep them, because I couldn't understand why they wouldn't choose more for their life. And I found out once it's free for them, they would choose it, like my parents did. My father always said, we are happy with our life. And then when they wanted to go on a vacation, well, if you pay for it, we come. If not, we don't need it. You know, there was always this, am I actually allowed to have more while others are suffering? This was my biggest money issue that I had. And that I, thanks to the Access Consciousness tool, and finally, I hope I got over it. Let's see if there's something left. But this was kind of the way I struggled financially through life for 15, 20 years, kind of hiding and feeling guilty for having more than others.
And so I think everybody out there who's listening can probably relate to having one or two or a million points of view about money that just make having money not ease, joy, and glory. And so what I love to introduce to the world is that pathway of ease, joy, and glory in all areas of life, not because I want everybody to be rich, but because I actually want everyone to be happy. And I know that as long as you use money as an excuse for why you can't, it's sort of like you're always living a lie. And that's where David started this conversation. If you guys remember, he was like, how did you say it? Well, I'm going to paraphrase. It's sort of like, if you believe that money will solve all your problems or money will give you greater choice, that's actually the lie. How it actually works in the universe is choose first, then the money follows.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Money has never, ever in history of mankind been the source of creation. And it will never be.
Cool. And so this, I think, brings us to an interesting question of like, what is the source of creation? Because as you told this, you've said in your story how you had this sort of like interest in more that was unique to you amongst your family. Like no one else in your family actually really had the desire for more. And I've seen it in myself as well, where I'm interested in succeeding above and beyond where most people seem to even want to push themselves. They're sort of happy with, well, all sorts of things that I would never be happy with. Some of them painful, some of them just boring. And I'm always interested in how much more I can financially create and how much easier I can bring that money into my life. And that willingness to have money come with ease without the guilt, without the judgment of the rich people stigma, without the sense of that money is somehow for assholes, and also the recognition that like money takes care of us.
It does. And life is actually, life really, when you have more money, life doesn't really change. It just gets a little more comfortable and you have more ease with everything.
Well, because I would say it gets a lot more fun. And you're one of those people who's really inspired me to use my money to have like in ways to create more fun in my life. One of the things that you didn't add to when I asked you sort of like your portfolio and your income and stuff, what you didn't mention was, which I will tell, is that David is like a world traveler and is constantly traveling and learning new languages and learning new things about the world, which I would imagine is probably a pretty valuable currency for you.
Oh my God, thank you for mentioning that, because this is, especially traveling, put me in a first class suite on a long haul flight.
Yes. Yes.
And I am
heaven. It's so much
heaven, fun. Heaven. And I, every year I fight with my bookkeeper and my accountant. They go like, how can you spend so much on traveling? And I said, this, I'm not spending on traveling. This brings me joy. This is, it's probably very unique, but I so enjoy myself and everything. And that's what I consider return on investment. These moments, these
yes.
15 hours flights where you just indulge in the luxury, and I'm so creative, and this is where I create, for me it's everything else but spending money. It's so way more, and
right.
The fun part is the more I spend on first class flights, the more my income increases. It's every year the same story. They call me, oh my God, you're spending so much, and then after the year is over they said, well, you made more money. This is so weird.
Yeah,
they don't get it. They think it's linear, but it's not. Money creation isn't linear.
Well, one of the keys to actually generating money that most people don't believe, which you are embodying and also I am embodying, is the joy of having money. And actually having joy with money is unmeasurably effective. It's beaten out of us from a very young age because we don't see a lot of people having joy with money. In fact, like I only saw pain and suffering caused by money. And so I had to work a lot through that. But at one point my dad asked me, you know, my stepdad, because after he divorced my mom, he started changing his financial landscape. And I mean, he has gone above and beyond, like, wow, he is his own financial universe. It's such
a
But he asked me at one point, he's like, well, what is your reality with money? And I was like so excited to look at that. And I like literally put pen to paper and I had no clue. I knew what my parents' reality had been. I knew what everybody else's points of view were, but I actually didn't know what was true for me about money. And I stayed in the question of what is my reality with money for probably 3 to 4 weeks. And one morning I woke up and the first element of my reality with money was there, and it was joy. And I realized that if I wasn't joyful with money, I wasn't being me. And it's essential to be you with money. Otherwise, it doesn't work, which I think is what most people are experiencing.
Yes, it just doesn't work. And they still try to figure out the how rather than just enjoying it.
Mm. Enjoying that there is such a underestimated. Everyone thinks that enjoyment is so frivolous, but it is powerful.
It is. And there are so many ways of enjoying money. For example, I enjoy money by spending it on expensive first class flights. Other people enjoy money by having it in their safe. Other people enjoy money by buying something. There is no right way to enjoy money. You have to follow this, you know, it comes from inside, these butterflies in your stomach that go, oh my God, that's awesome. This is the joy of life, and money can trigger that. So that would be probably a nice exercise for everyone on here. What's that? What triggers joy in relation to money? Listen to your body. Don't go into your mind. It's these weirdest things. Sometimes it's buying something or investing in it, in something. It's not saving it. I think that's the most important thing. Yeah. Saving money stops the money flow. Money is energy. It has to move. It has to flow. Mm. Loves movement. Saving it kind of cuts off the stream, and it never creates. You can't create greater by saving or cutting costs.
So that's, are you? So what would you suggest instead of saving, or in addition to saving, or say more about the saving?
Well, what I suggest is to have a financial overview of your expenses and of your income. And instead of cutting expenses, increase the income. When you look at saving, change into what do I want to create in my life? What will my life be like in 5 years? Go take it back to the basic questions of access consciousness. If I choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? And if I don't choose it. And then you get the energy of, wow. And then you will always see having it and keeping it and saving it doesn't create a greater future. I don't want to inspire people just to go out and buy whatever they desire, you know, these shopping addicts.
Right.
That's not how it works. It's truly being in question with every cent you invest or spend. Be in question. Will that create a greater future? Will that create more? Will that create something? It doesn't even have to be greater or more. Well, will that create?
Well, the word you keep using a lot is create, and that's probably more relevant to this conversation than money. But if you guys haven't listened to the podcast David and I did, I think it's called How to Thrive Financially During Strange Economic Times, you should go back and listen to that, because we do talk about creation. And one of the things that you had said in there was that all financial services developed as a response to people creating. And
yes,
all financial...
It was designed to make trading easier. The creation was always first. Creativity, right. Creation, businesses, trading, everything was there first. Money then came to make it easier.
And you also
I think that hasn't changed.
And you also stated, though, that people have so become so reliant on money that they have forgotten how to create and do true trading. Because we're so conditioned to think of exchange through the monetary value of our country's currency, rather than look at creation as an infinite source that money can then follow or contribute to.
Well, you asked one question 10 minutes ago. What is the true, what is the source of
yes.
creation? When we talk about what is creation, and the source of creation is choice.
Mm-hmm.
And choice is taking an action and being in question. So choose.
And
see what shows up. And if you don't like it, choose again. And
yes.
if you like it, choose more. Creation is just choice. And choice starts moving energy, because things will be different once you make a choice.
And don't fool yourself, guys, because I know a lot of you out there are probably being like, well, I think I'm choosing to have money, or I think I'm choosing to, you know, be financially astute. But the thing is, you can choose, but you have to be honest with yourself too about what your fundamental primary financial points of view are right now, which is something that David and I spoke about earlier in this conversation about, you know, the stuff like you had about being guilty about money, and me like not wanting to be judged as a rich asshole. Like, that's just two examples. And there's millions of variations and flavors of judgments and points of view about money. My dad says that points of view are like assholes. Everybody has one, but everybody's willing to put their financial point of view on you. Like, it's this phenomenon in the universe. But even if their financial point of view is completely wrong, they will still enforce it left, right, and center.
Yeah, they will. And there is a way out. There are two questions that you can start asking yourself. So if you truly want to change your financial reality, or find out what your point of view about money are, because so many people just don't even know or haven't even been present with the question, well, what's money for me? Because they are so on autopilot working, and they so take it for granted that they can never make more than they need to pay their bills. I would ask everyone, sit down, take a piece of paper and answer the two questions. What do I love about money? What do I hate about money?
Cool.
Just be honest. Just be truthfully honest with yourself.
And then I was going to say, after you write your list, and you might actually have been just about to say this, after you write your list, you want to destroy and uncreate all of it. And if you're not familiar with the Access Clearing Statement, we'll include the link for that below too, so that you can learn it and use it.
Yeah. But what I also recommend is what helped me at the beginning. I destroyed the paper. I burned it because I was like, oh my God, if someone ever reads this, they think I'm insane. But please take this moment. If you truly want to change your financial reality, if you want to step out of this devil's circle, call it, name it, whatever, sit down and answer these two questions. And then you can throw the paper away. You can burn it if you're afraid someone will ever read it. And do it again. Don't expect an answer. Being present and being aware of what's going on is a key element, because once you see it, you can change it.
And that's if you guys want to change it. So this is sort of like a ping of possibility. It's obviously, I mean, I think that money is a massive area and one that most of us really don't question and live at the effect of. One of the things that I am unusually interested and fascinated by money, meaning I've educated myself a lot. I've read a lot of books and I've watched a lot of programs and I've listened to a lot of people and I've looked at it myself. And I've actually done a lot of financial experimentation in my own life to look at what works. And I'm constantly seeking greater freedom. That's really my priority, is greater freedom. That actually was, I think, the two things that inspired me to have money was, number one, so that I would never be controlled by anything or anyone. That was literally what made me want to have money, so I wouldn't be controlled. And number two was to be able to sit in first class on an airplane.
Oh, I love you, Shannon.
And that was enough to really get me interested. And I've learned so much over the years. I wonder, David, if you'd be interested in having another sort of like the history, thesis, ethos, and physics of money conversation, sort of talk, because we say money as though it's one thing, but in truth, money has evolved over the millennia and is, I mean, now we live in a day and age where financial institutions are just manufacturing money with economic manipulation in ways that most of us can never understand, nor does it ever actualize as real resource. It's all just ideas. And that's one version of money that exists right now.
Yeah, it kind of drifted away from what it was. And it became, I once asked Gary Douglas, so if money is an artificial, it is artificial, how would a world without money look like? And he said, no, don't go there. Money is there, and money is the most dominant energy on our planet at the moment, because we made it so. Mm. Mankind made it to the most dominant thing on the planet. Don't fight against that. Be present with it, be aware of it, and be in question. How can you create with it, how you can take advantage of it? It's not fighting it. Money's not bad. It's there. And it probably was never, probably the initial idea for sure has never been that it will become that dominant. But now that's what it is. And changing it is actually seeing, okay, it is. It's the most dominant. Everybody, it rules the world. But you don't have to buy into the lie that this is the only way. At the moment, it's the way to be. But it doesn't mean that we still can do something different, that we can even use all this to our advantage, but just not buying the lie that it's the only way.
And also not buying the lies about the ways in which money can come into your life.
Exactly.
Because there are so many ways for money to come. I mean, literally, money is conceptual. So it's an incredibly fascinating universe to play in. So this is a little bit of taste of some money stuff with us today.
And yes, I would love to continue these conversations because I just ask me a question about money or I can talk for hours.
Yeah. And I also get to that there is sort of like a lack of good Well, from my perspective, generative financial education that's not about the right way to do money or the wrong way to do money or extremely boring way to do money. It's sort of like we have to get clear on like what money actually is in the history of the concept of money and then get into being creative because it's our creations that will determine the future of monetary domination and whether that monetary domination will generate or destroy the earth.
Exactly. So we can take action. We can choose different today. And if nobody starts taking away this dominance of money, it will never change. Mm. We can by just being it.
Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. What else is possible? What will
Thank
it take?
Thank you, Shannon, for having me as a guest again. And I'm looking forward for our next podcast.
Yes, totally.
You know, whatever topic.
So will it take for all of money to come to all of you guys with ease, joy, and glory, or pain and suffering, if that's what you prefer, and everything that doesn't allow it, destroy it, uncreate it? Right, wrong, good, battle, nine, pod, puck, shirts, boys, beyonds. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.